Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us for our discussion around the new hybrid workforce and what a return to work will look like. Now that we have more of the population in Canada fully vaccinated, we're starting to hear a lot about what our return to the office is going to look like. And in fact, we know that 55% of employees expect their company's work environment to be a mix of office and remote work, and about 80% of us are expecting to work from home at least 3 days a week. I'm Ashley Tompkins from the Canadian Professional Sales Association, and I'm pleased to be joined by Ashley Morian, Strategic Industry Alliance's Partnership Manager at RingCentral, and Steve D'Agostino, the President of Avega. And coming from these leading companies in the cloud-based communication space, they'll weigh in on how to equip your business with a hybrid model that's going to reach everyone on your team where they work best, but also address some of the challenges that are going to come along with this new way of working. So whether it's business continuity, productivity, or connectivity, we'll have a discussion about all of that. So to jump right into it, when do we think we see businesses reopening and employees going back into their offices on a more consistent basis? And Steve, we'll start with you to speak to what's going on within Canada, and then Ashley, we'll get you to weigh in on the situation in the US where things are a little further ahead.
Thanks, Ashley. So, as you know, in Canada, each province is handling the rollout into next phases a little bit differently. I was talking to one of our clients in Calgary, and they said, "Hey, we're the wild, wild west out here." And they were already in the offices themselves. And I'm talking more about professional offices that have kind of vacated over the last while. There's been a lot of obviously businesses that had to remain open. But I'm talking about most of them that occupy office space. Outside of, Alberta and where people are going back, what we're generally seeing and hearing from our clients is that they're looking to a September, October reopening where they're going to try to get their employees back into the office. Obviously, we're getting double vaccinated through the summer. And, there's a natural mental break with coming back, not only because everybody's vaccinated and can come back safely, but the summer months are over, and I think that's what most people that we're talking to are planning.
Yeah, that's pretty consistent with what we're hearing at CPSA. And yeah. Ashley, what about you in the U.S. market, where you guys have been fully vaccinated for quite a bit longer than we're looking at here in Canada? So what's the situation going on there? Are people back, or are companies still a bit hesitant?
Sure. Yeah. So similar to Steve, I'm actually located in Denver, Colorado. So I would say that a majority of the last 3 to 4 months have consisted of pretty heavy strategic planning from some of the larger companies. So obviously being vacated for so long, need to make sure that they gauge the employees' readiness to return to the office, as well as re-gauge the amount of time that people are going to want to spend in the office and how ready that office space is to accept employees back part-time. So I would say most people that I've spoken to over the past couple of months are going into the office from anywhere from 1 day to 3 days a week. Some of the larger companies are a little bit on the slower end. Me being one of them, I will be returning in January. So it's really all over the spectrum. Everybody's handling it a little bit differently, but that strategic planning in returning to the office is a really big factor that I think a lot of companies are putting a lot of time and resources into.
Right. And I think you've sort of touched on it here. But what are the top considerations that, companies have to keep in mind when returning to an office under a hybrid model? And, what types of decisions need to be made in order to equip your workforce for that?
Absolutely. So I believe that the number one thing to consider is making sure that people are ready to go back to the office and really putting together a solid game plan of what that's going to look like. So a couple other things to consider is making sure that they have all of the tools and softwares available to them, not only at home, which they've been using for the last year, but also in the office, and creating more of a seamless communications workflow for their employees. Outside of that, it's important to also make sure that people are ready to commute as they were. So there was a statistic that I saw recently that with the lack of commuting to an office, most employees that had a smaller commute are saving 11 days not commuting to the office anymore. So I know that personally, for RingCentral, there's been a lot of employee engagement to make sure that people have the means to go into the office and really just gauging their comfortability with everything and going from there. And then also with some of the vacancies with workspaces, you know, some people have stopped paying for that workspace and they've downgraded and they've like gotten rid of some of their space. So if that is the case, also determining how much space they have for employees and also weighing out if it would make sense to allow certain teams to work remotely full time and figuring out what that looks like and what those next steps are.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts and things to consider. And I know it's probably still a little bit early in Canada, but I think we're all just getting to the phase where we have to start to make these considerations. So, Steve, anything that you might have to add based on maybe some client discussions you've had or even what your own office might be considering doing?
Well, you know, I think Ashley hit on some big ones, right? You know, how much office space do you have or do you want? I think those are the things that people are thinking about, spacing internally. But I think outside of a couple of things that Ashley had mentioned, you know, policy setting, right? So not only from a policy setting for people to be coming in and are they vaccinated? Do they have to get tested? I know some of the Chamber of Commerce are issuing test kits to businesses to equip them so that they can test employees if they're not vaccinated and they've, you know, come up with policies and policies on how to work from home. I think if it's going to be a more permanent environment, which it seems like it's going to be, what constitutes work from home? When are you off? what should you be doing when you're in the office? And how, you know, what tools are you putting in place to ensure that people are following the work from home policies? So just a couple of things, but I think Ashley covered a lot of the things that most companies are grappling with right now.
Yeah, making some of those gray areas less gray as we need to move forward with this, correct. You know, as the sort of the new norm for working. So, yeah. I mean, I think we've hit on some of them, but in your opinions, you know, what are the top challenges of working in this hybrid model? And Ashley, maybe we'll have you go first because you've seen more businesses return potentially. You know, what are sort of the top issues that companies are facing with this?
Sure. Yeah. And I know that I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I would say overall, number one, communication and collaboration is probably the biggest challenge of not only working remotely, but this also this new hybrid model as well. So as we've seen the past year, it's crucial to have the software, the equipment for employees to stay connected. And that's not just a phone system. That's not just video conferencing. That's really every single communication platform that you would have. So the ability, if possible, to have those bundled into one suite makes that transition from the office to home so much more seamless and allows for a lot less room to lose anything in translation. I know personally when I not only go on vacation or bring my computer with me or into the office, knowing that I have all of the data and all of the projects and all of the tools that I need in one place has made it so much easier to stay on top of projects and hit those deadlines and stay in communication with my my colleagues and also external parties as well. So aside from communication, I would say from the past year and also entering this new hybrid, it's easy to kind of get on video meeting burnout. So that's one thing that we've seen a lot of. So I will say that going into the office, though, is kind of solving for some of those challenges that we were seeing from remote work. So feeling of isolation, feeling lack of recognition, and also just feeling of that lack of connection with your team and your employees. So going into the office a couple of days a week is really solving for some of those challenges that had been reported in working remotely the past year. But I would say number one, though, is communication and finding that those tools or that tool that's going to help everybody stay on track and not lose any bits of information or anything critical to your operation in the process.
Yeah. And Steve, do you have anything to add on that subject in particular, you know, as coming from a company that tailors a lot of communications solutions and maybe you have some, you know, recent examples that you could share?
Well, you know, of course, I mean, in terms of challenges, you know, I think even personally from our organization, one of the challenges is onboarding new employees and building an orientation package for them, and ensuring that new employees and all employees kind of follow the culture that you want to set as an organization. We're all social animals, right? And bringing people into the office definitely helps. But when you're at home, working remote wherever you are, the ability to strike up a conversation, have regular meetings and feel like you're together, you know, helps you. It's not a replacement, but it definitely helps you instill, you know, the culture and helps you onboard employees the way you want to. You know, some of the customers that we're using with regards to onboarding, obviously they're using the whiteboard, the capabilities, the web conferencing capabilities to provide presentation and material to new employees. But some of these tools allow you to actually record, not from a Big Brother perspective, but you can record and monitor conversations if you're in an environment where people are customer service reps or sales reps. And you can provide real life coaching, feedback to those employees. And often you can do a joint call where you can whisper in the background to ensure new employees are providing the right information to your customer base. So that's a really slick way of using the technology and helping new employees come on board and ensuring that they're getting ramped up. Because, you know, the one thing too is that if somebody comes on board and does not feel connected, your turnover is going to be that much quicker, right? So it's important to do that. The other thing too, though, you know, from an employee perspective, you know, if you are ambitious at all, not being front and center all the time in an office environment, people get lost. And, you know, if your goal is to rise through an organization with a career aspirations, you know, that, you know, you need to be in front and being involved. And these communication tools and allow you to interact with your team, show that you can lead in collaboration and projects, and gives you the opportunity to work closely with management. So those are a couple of things that I think are challenges and, you know, how these things can be addressed. But, you know, even in, you know, I think just the technology that we've provided have helped a lot of organizations just deal with the situation. We've got, you know, a recruiting firm, Ashley, that does a lot of C-suite recruiting. You know, they were able to bail out of the downtown Toronto marketplace. They moved their researchers to, you know, smaller towns where they decided to leave. They were able to keep that team together. They were very successful in maintaining their searches. They did all their high-end interviews with candidates using the video components, and were able to ensure that the employer and candidates could meet as if they were in the same room. So that's one example that, you know, where we saw an organization, a smaller business, use it effectively, not to miss any beat and to cut cost during this whole thing. And then we had another collection company that had offices in Montreal and Toronto. They were in a, you know, they had their own phone system connected with an expensive telecom connection, and they pushed everybody into the home environment. They can maintain their calling. In fact, they improved the amount of reporting on employee calls and recording. And, you know, not only, again, did they save money from a cost expense line, but they ensured the productivity remained high. And in this process, they improved how they could monitor and manage an environment like collections, which you can imagine the conversations are sometimes interesting. So just a few examples and some of the challenges that you're going to deal with, but how technology can help you get over them.
Yeah, absolutely. Great examples of the kind of creative and innovative solutions that the new technology is offering. And I think as well, you've highlighted a lot of the opportunities that this remote and hybrid workforce offers, whether it's increasing your hiring pool and, you know, geographically who you can hire and potentials to boost productivity, to save costs on real estate. And, you know, and if stuff's executed properly, it should help decrease turnover ideally. Ashley, do you have anything to add as far as, you know, opportunities and sort of some of the positive effects of the hybrid work model?
Yeah, absolutely. So this isn't going anywhere. I believe that the hybrid model is going to live way beyond the pandemic. 98% of people in a study showed that they would choose to work remotely part-time for the rest of their careers. So, you know, working remotely for the last year, it's kind of hard to go back to completely in the office full-time, but I do know that a lot of people are itching for that social interaction piece and just being front and center and having those face-to-face conversations with their teams. One thing that I would say, and this is also based on lots of conversations within my network, but allowing the flexibility for employees to have that hybrid model is proving that it's really bringing a lot higher employee retention. When employees have that flexibility to kind of set their schedule and determine what makes them feel most comfortable and what's making them the most productive, that's going to make people happy and that's going to make them feel appreciated. And that's going to make them feel like they have the autonomy to make that decision for themselves and figure out what's going to make them the most, the biggest asset to the team. So 57% of people actually stated that they are more productive when they work from home. So I'm somebody who's definitely itching to get back to the office, but I also know how many benefits there are from working remotely. So allowing people that hybrid, I guess, the biggest benefit to me is higher employee retention and happier employees.
Which is a great opportunity for everyone to kind of consider and focus on as we start to implement these hybrid models. So we've talked a lot about communication and technology as you know, being really critical to executing this hybrid business model. What are some of the general technology best practices that help manage a hybrid workforce? And, you know, maybe you could each speak to not just the best practices, but some of the specific solutions that that RingCentral and Avega provide for hybrid workforces. So maybe we'll start with you, Ashley, and then we'll go over to Steve.
Sure. So it might be a little bit repetitive. I know that I mentioned the importance and benefits of consolidation, but really trying to consolidate as many platforms for communication as you have into one really makes it a lot more seamless for your employees and also for in your external communications as well. So this allows for teams to create projects together and work seamlessly on them and not lose any of that information and work on those milestones as well. But also having a solution that is reliable is a very big one. So if you're back and forth between the office and back and forth between, maybe even working from a new destination, having something that's reliable and not missing a beat in that sense is very important. Another thing that I think is really important is also the ability to find a solution that is able to integrate. So everybody uses multiple different platforms right now. And when you have that ability to integrate multiple platforms together, that then cuts out steps from your processes and makes your team more proficient and also just more productive as well. So that's where I'll start. And then I'll, Steve, if you have anything to echo or wanted to just pass that over to you.
Right. So, Ashley, you hit on a lot of the things that, I think people are looking for in terms of best practices. The pandemic hit us pretty quickly, and what we saw is organizations scrambled to get people working from home. And quite often, I kind of call it the tail was wagging the dog. A lot of the solutions that got implemented to work from home were employee driven because they were using it personally and they thought, oh, this is really cool. And so then the company would adopt it as the method of one of their communication tools. In a lot of cases, customers have this hodgepodge or landed on one or two different technologies. And from the best practices, IT organizations want to standardize. It allows them to service the employees better. It allows them to maintain cost control better. It allows them to drive productivity through your whole organization if everybody's using the same tool. And as you mentioned, Ashley, if you can unify, like I think employees tend to use 4 to 6 different devices for communication. And if you can consolidate applications onto 1 or 2 devices, your smartphone or a cell phone, that's ideal. You want to ensure from an employee perspective, a policy perspective, that you've got strong internet access. And ideally, again, IT has the ability to monitor the quality of the communication applications, even if they're remote. And in some of the tools that are provided by RingCentral give excellent reporting, not only on what's happening from an activity perspective or calls, but also quality of calls. So if there are issues with call quality, or employees are talking about improvements that they need, an IT person or professional, regardless of where they are, can zero in on that specific call to determine what's actually happening. So that's, again, from a technology best practices, having the tools to help to ensure that things work in a high quality environment are important. And then, you also want to consider security, policies, data sharing and backup, and dealing with a vendor or product that provides all those in a high secure environment with encryption. So those, again, from a policy perspective, you want to look at, and the solutions that are provided definitely align with that. So those are some of the best practices that and how technology can help. Ashley.
Great. And I think you touched on, or started to touch on, sort of some of the solutions specific to the RingCentral platform. So Ashley, if you want to maybe expand a little bit on that and talk about some of the tech solutions that RingCentral has available.
Absolutely. So I believe that Steve kind of teed me up for this one, where I'll start, but it's extremely important, especially being in a new hybrid structure, as we've mentioned, to make sure that call routing is set up the way that you want it to be set up. So I know that with some people that are just using a landline, you have to call your provider and have them forward calls to a certain number. But if you're back and forth between home and the office, you need to make sure that you have that process dialed down and have a platform that makes it easy for you to figure out where those calls are going to be routed at your fingertips, so that you're not relying on anybody to make those changes from you and you're not missing those phone calls. So making sure that you're available and that call routing is set up exactly how you want it to be and have the flexibility to do that on demand, I believe, is the number one critical piece. Aside from that, RingCentral offers the ability to schedule video meetings that sync with your calendar. So on the days that you're not in the office and you do need to connect with your team or any external parties, can quickly hop on that video call and not lose that personal touch. Outside of that, I would say that a couple other important pieces for especially internal team projects, the ability to create teams within the RingCentral platform and set deadlines and just collaborate with people and upload files of any size and be able to pin those to revisit at any point. That's been something that's been critical in staying connected and in sync with your teams and not missing any of those deadlines. So those are a couple of the ways that RingCentral can help, and a couple of the different solutions that we provide, message, video, and phone primarily, but really just having the ability to make sure that you're available internally and externally from anywhere at any point through any means of communication is really the number one way that we can help you in that new hybrid structure.
And Steve, where does Avega come in? Is from a support perspective, and to kind of complement that the solutions that you're getting from RingCentral.
Yeah, so we're a premium partner of RingCentral. We've been partnering with them since 2013. We've definitely helped a lot of organizations use that solution. We offer a setup and a package where we can help an organization implement the solution, move from their current system over. Quite often, our process actually helps customers figure out which is the best way to use the system, because quite often you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, which is the best call routing? What's the most effective way to keep employees productive? How can you handle customer calls leveraging people remotely so that, you know, customers have a great experience and not know they're getting passed around? So we definitely help out in terms of how customers can set up their system. We definitely help customers strategically figure out how to leverage the technology to help what they want to do, whether it's drive more sales, whether it's by implementing a call center environment light without having to buy an expensive call center. We do training on the solution, and we, you know, definitely help them figure out, you know, is hot desking a technology that they want to leverage? Because when you're looking at the solution, you know, you want to ensure that you're going with the right package and you're getting what you need. So from the beginning process to implementation to training, we help guide an organization to ensure that they're getting the most out of the solution and technology. Now, there's quite things in here. Like, we've helped a lot of customers do hacks on the system, right? You know, there's a great task management capability in this platform. We had one customer that sends their, they did repairs and they really sent technicians out every day with jobs. And it was just kind of a manual thing. Well, we said, hey, listen, if you leverage the system this way, you can assign tasks in the tool. When the tech's out on the job, all he has to do is go on his cell phone, click that is been completed, and it gets sent back to you. So you know where your folks are all day long. And if you have to actually get them to change, you can send the tasks via the app, which sits on their mobile phone. So, you know, I think that's a real strength that we help organizations when they're looking at a RingCentral solution, how to use it better.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're helping maximize the return on investment because you're getting this really, you know, robust and amazing tool from RingCentral. And then Avega comes in and really helps you maximize that investment and utilize it to the fullest and in a way that really is tailored to your team. So working together provides a really strong service for customers. So, I mean, certainly our experience has been really great. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, absolutely, right? You get out what you put into it, and definitely there's this solution not only saves money, it is it's a strategic enabler. So those are key things that, you know, to your point, we help maximize.
Final question, and Ashley, you kind of touched on this already. This hybrid model, do we think it's going to live beyond the pandemic? Is this permanent? Ashley, you sort of noted it already. So, Steve, I'll go to you. What are your thoughts around this? Do you think that this hybrid model will live on and will be the way of the future?
Yeah, I really do. It's a quite interesting situation. You know, you look to some of the Wall Street major organizations and they're forcing employees to come back to work. They definitely want them in the office. But to Ashley's earlier point, employees, you know, I think there's a stat that said 40% of employees would quit if they were forced to come back. So I definitely feel that we will level into a space where most companies are going to allow a hybrid environment. And I think there's benefits on both sides, especially in the, you know, the greater Toronto metropolitan areas where it's very expensive to live. People are moving out further. So the ability to not commute for a couple of days a week makes sense. But I think companies with space downtown wanting to build a culture, et cetera, are going to want people in for some of those days. But I think that's where we will settle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's well said. Ashley, any final thoughts around that or additions to your earlier statement that I know you suggested earlier that you did think that this was going to continue and have longevity?
Oh, yeah. And I know the statistic that Steve was mentioning, and it was 40% of people who would not return to their job if they were required to go into the office. And I can definitely echo this based on conversations with people that I work with and also just people within my network. Most people have developed a comfortability with the remote work, but also still have that sense of wanting to have that social aspect and return to the office and have those water cooler chats and get that exposure to their leadership team. I think that we will find a sweet spot, and most companies will find that pretty quickly after building out their policies and after building out what that's going to look like in a return to office plan. I think we will find that true hybrid model that we've been looking for. And as Steve mentioned, there's benefits of both. There's benefits of going into the office and showing face, and there's also the benefits of working remotely. So after you've kind of experienced that remote work for the last year, it's hard to return to that office environment full-time cold turkey. So I definitely believe it's here to stay. I know that a lot of people have been reliant on working remotely for the last year. So I think that it will be an interesting transition, smoother for some companies more than others. But I think for myself personally, looking forward to getting to see people in person again and figure out what that sweet spot is.
Absolutely. I think as we've heard said so many times throughout the past year, I mean, it's an evolving situation, but I think you guys have both provided a lot of really valuable insight and just highlighted things that we all need to consider as we're preparing to return to work on this hybrid basis, and, you know, whether it's communication tools, policy, implementation, and just how we're going to approach this whole thing. So I want to thank you both for all of your thoughtful contributions to this discussion, which I think will be really helpful for the people listening today and our CPSA members in particular. And we do want to remind CPSA members that if this is sort of about thinking about technology and communication support for your businesses and for your teams, our members are eligible for preferred rates on cloud-based communication solutions through RingCentral and on optional system support through Avega. So, you know, a great benefit that we can offer everyone. And more details are available at cpsa.com/ringcentral. So thank you, Ashley and Steve, so much for your time today.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley.